The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So I've been teaching. I interrupted last night to talk about healing. But I've been talking about a generation in prophecy. Yesterday, we were looking at how to serve the Lord. Remember that? And we're looking at the fact that there are words that have gone ahead of you as a believer. And you must live in the fulfillment of those words. And one of those words, to give an example, one of those things that God has said concerning you, for instance, is that God planned that everyone will be saved. Salvation is the universal plan of God for everyone. And that's why if you are not born again, if you are not saved, you are already not in the plan of God for your life. You're already not living in what God has said concerning it. It doesn't matter whether you make it and become a millionaire or become a billionaire and have 30 children if you wish. You've not entered into why God created you. Salvation is first. Then secondly is ministry, to serve the Lord. So everybody has an assignment to serve the Lord. And this, again, I say, is not particular and not peculiar to pastors. Everybody must serve the Lord. And I showed that again and again through the scriptures yesterday, that the original plan of God is that man will serve him, right? So that when God said to man, you are to dress and to keep the garden, what was he talking about? He was talking about ministry. We saw that yesterday, right? So it is the plan of God that you will serve him. And that should be your commitment, that you will serve the Lord. Because whether you become a pastor or not is not the question here. The thing is, you must serve God. And if you are still confused, that maybe you missed yesterday, but I showed you there are three major ways God wants you to serve him. You remember that? He wants to serve him, to minister to the Lord. And that talks about your personal relationship with God. Then there is ministering to, or ministry of reconciliation, where God expects you to minister to sinners, to preach the gospel to people who are not saved. And it is the assignment of everybody. And I said it yesterday, one-on-one evangelism is going down every day in our generation. And it's something that we must wake up and face. Because that is the ministry of everybody. We saw Acts 20 verse 20, where Paul said he preached publicly and he preached from house to house. Every minister must preach publicly and preach from house to house. Every believer must preach publicly and from house to house. And so, it is not a Jehovah Witness thing to knock on people's door to preach to them. Are you following me? It's a Christian thing. Because you are laughing or you are comfortable when Jehovah's Witness comes to your door to knock because you say you don't like what they preach. But you don't go to preach to anyone. It's not a Jehovah's Witness thing to knock on doors. We also knock on doors. I began my Christian work by knocking on doors and say now we knock on doors to preach to people. We stop people on the road to preach to them. I get on a plane with you, I'm going to preach to you. Sometimes you're trying to attend to me at a counter right there, and I'm preaching to you. Sometimes I'm trying to buy from an eatery, and I'm sharing God's word with you. And the point is, you must know that it is our assignment, it is our responsibility to preach the gospel from house to house. It is what God has created us for. It's not just that I'm trying to charge you to make you a serious Christian. I'm saying that was part of the original plan that God had for you when he was making you. Ministry of reconciliation. Then the third one was ministry to the saints. Where some people are on camera now, some people are ushering, they are serving the saints. This hall is neat this morning because possibly some people stayed back to put it in order. You are listening to me this morning because someone is in the sound department making sure that you can hear me very well. What are they doing? They are serving you. And that is ministry. That's why when you come into a church, first thing you do is, can I go to the foundation class? Next thing is, can I start serving? Because that's why God created you. That's why God made you. That you will serve the Lord, serve, minister to sinners, serve the saints. The Bible talks to us in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15 about the household of Stephanas and how that they had addicted themselves. And I'm praying for you that you have that kind of household. A household addicted to the service of the Lord. Addicted. I don't know if you pursue. This morning, if God permits, I'm going to say a little about marriage and getting married. Because one of the things you must want to do is that your family, your spouse, you guys will be given to serving the Lord.
That was this family. They were addicted. They were addicted. It wasn't just the man. It wasn't just the woman. Both of them. And then Babylon talks about the entire household. Because if the man and the woman are addicted to serving the Lord, it will rub off eventually on everybody that is in that household. And so, things, that's our assignment. You are not supposed to force your children to be pastors. I'm not going to force my kids to be pastors, evangelists, apostles. But hear me, I am going to force them to serve God. Now, that's the word is force. I'm not caught out for all of this. You know, let your children make their choices. I won't let you make your choice. I will help you make your choice. Are you what I'm talking about? Because society is not... Now, if you don't want to help them make their choice, society is helping them make their choice. There are a few choices that God gave us on earth. But there are other choices that he didn't give us. Man is a creation of choice. But there are things God didn't give us to choose. And the problem is our generation that we're trying to choose where God asked us not to choose. That's why people are choosing to be male or female. Do you see now? People are choosing to be male or female. Very stupid way of thinking. I hope when you change all your hormones, change everything. Hope you can change how you think. Because you'll still be thinking like a man or a woman. You see the man, he has done surgery, he has muscles. He used to be a woman. The girl has done surgery, he now looks like a man. Yes, when you annoy him, he'll still tell you, it is not true. He still acting like a woman. Because the thing is still inside. It's a lie. Now, he has changed his voice. He's now bass voice. But he's a lie. The thing is still there. Because you can't change. They are not allowed to choose there. And that's the thing. In Christianity, there are things God didn't let us choose. The day you chose salvation, you also chose ministry. It's a full package. Now, let me say this to you. I said it to someone about marriage, but let me talk about say it in the end of ministry. There are games. Football, for instance, is a game. Now, you can choose not to play football. Nobody's going to worry you. It's your choice. But the day you eventually agree to play football, there are rules that guide football. And you must play by the rules. You can't possibly carry the ball in your hand and go and throw it inside the post. And that's how I want to play my own. The day you chose to play football, you are now bound by the rules. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You can choose not to be born again. But the day you accepted Jesus, you no longer have a choice. You must do ministry. Are you following me this morning? You have a choice. Just like I was talking about marriage. I said, you say marriage, you can choose not to get married. And it's your choice. But the day you choose to get married, that is the way marriage works. You must play by the rules. That's the way marriage works. So, there are choices you have. There are choices you do not have. And there are choices that once you make this one, you've made it. So you've made the choice to be born again. You also choose ministry in the process. You cannot accept the gift and not accept the responsibility. Amen. Now, and I said yesterday that God has prepared you for ministry. Remember I said that yesterday? And I showed you many ways. I don't want to go back to that. And I said God has prepared you. And God keeps preparing you for ministry. He keeps preparing you. There are many things God has done to prepare you and keep preparing you. One of the things that he does to keep preparing you is, for instance, church. Let me drop this before I get into the teaching of today. The local church is God's way of making you fit for its assignment. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Verse 12, he said, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. So the reason why there are apostles, pastors, and all of that is so that the saints can perfect. That perfecting means for the maturity of the saints. If you give NLT, NLT said to, for the, give NLT. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So my job as a pastor is to equip you to do God's work. So no pastor, for instance, has a responsibility to raise billionaires. Are you what I'm talking about? Even though in church, people become billionaires. But that is not the assignment, major assignment of a pastor. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So the reason you come to church is that we can prepare you to do ministry. I feel it is people who don't know what God has called them to say, I am called to raise billionaires. I am called to raise... Now, if you are called to raise billionaires, whatever that means, go and set up a business school and not a church.
Are you what I'm talking about?
Go to, I mean, when encourage you, want to be a billionaire, go to a business school, if you have money, register and go, you'll be rich. Business schools will make you a better billionaire than church will.
I said it. Are you what I'm saying? There's just some church has that business schools don't have. They don't have anointing. And so when you finish then you'll come, we put hand upon you, all of them will mix up. Say amen.
So I don't exist to make a billionaire. But do I want to be a billionaire? Well, you cannot be and not be a billionaire because my anointing, you know.
Glory to God.
And I have so much to do. But that is not the job of a pastor. If every day, you know, I was listening to PGTI guys give their testimony this morning. If every day the testimony I hear in the church is, I had 10 and now I have 1,000. And yet the person is going deeper into sin. The person is not preaching the gospel to anybody. Then I'm failing as a pastor.
I get to the point.
Now, our job, the church is where you are molded and trained. So that all these other things God has put in your life, your natural abilities, will now gain proper expression. And so, I want to say it again. The church is where you are trained. There is this thing in our generation, and I think I'm going to address it properly today, about Adullam. You've heard all this talk. Cave of Adullam. Cave of Adullam. Now, let me, I don't know what that means. You say, everything is not church. You can be in your cave. Please come out from your cave and go to church. I get what I'm saying. Come out from that cave. He said, there are people God is making in the secret place. There is nobody like that. God trains us in the secret place and trains us in the company of saints. If your training is in the secret place, then when you are done, remain in the secret place. You can't get a training in the secret place and come to us in the open to come and teach us in the open. Stay in your secret place. I don't know why you guys love big, big things. What is Adullam for crying out loud? 1 Samuel chapter 22, that's where the Adullam issue came up. David was in that cave because Saul was after his life. And he ran into that place. In the cave of Adullam. And the Bible said that different people, watch what I'm going to show you. Give me verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, that was in debt, that was discontented, they gathered themselves unto him and he became a captain over them. And of course, there were about 400 men with him. Eventually, by the time we get to 2 Samuel, these guys had grown to become mighty men of valor. But then, and this is where the whole Adullam thing comes from. But did you observe that even in the Adullam setting, there was a man that trained them. His name was David. So how come your own Adullam is inside your room? Secret place. Adullam is not a secret place. It was a cave where David gathered 400 men and sat on top of them. And after years, they became mighty men. Give an example of that. That is the church. Are you what I'm talking about? They were meeting every day in that cave. They came to him discontented. They came to him tired. 400 of them. And he began to work on them. This took years before they became mighty men. Years. But it wasn't God talking to them directly. It was David training them. And that's why if you're here, don't have a local church. Please have a local church where you belong to. You will do yourself a lot of good. And I make bold to say, I'm not self-made. I didn't make myself. Men worked on me. Men are still working on me. I don't have no secret place where God comes to sneak into the night to talk to me. I have no place like that. I have a prayer life, don't get me wrong. I get what I'm saying. But men will make you. The problem is, you try to say you're going to Adullam or what have you. Some people that preach some of those things, they are trying to, let me say something to you. You know, anyway, you came to this place, so I'm going to say anything I want to say. I didn't come, you came. Let me say something to you. Most of the people parading this whole Adullam whatever are trying to discredit the place of the local church. So they're trying to say that the way you come here, God, it's not everything about church. There are meetings where we hold, where God makes men. Listen to me. Go to church. That's the greatest making. Let me tell you. I've seen ministers that were trained, not in a church setting. And I've seen ministers that were trained in a church setting. The difference is like night and day. I get what I'm saying? Night and day. The guy that is not trained in a church setting, they're always very indisciplined. I can tell you. It's not their fault, but that's how it is. There are fruits that have been lacking in their life. because they didn't have chance to learn how to walk in love. Nobody matched on them and told them, I don't care. It's the church, these things happen. Now, there is that thing about coming to church and God is training you, forming you, just by coming around. And do not come to church when you can. Be in church every time the door is open. That's where your training happens. That's where you become strong. You know, growing up, I can tell you this. When I started ministry, it was the time I stopped going to church. Some of you know this story. I'll just start to, yeah, just say, because I am actually, you know, I have personal discipline as a human being. Like, I decided to stay up all night and study the Bible, and I would do it. It's not even a big deal for me. So I felt, what's the point? When I stand up, I study. I said, in a year, I read over 100 books, Christian literatures, aside messages and prayer meetings, alone in my room. And so I felt, well, what's the point? But a while up, around my third year or so in school, because all the while I was in a school fellowship, the Lord began to talk to me, said, you're going, you better go and join a church. I was coming from my school in Abu Aniden to Enugu here every week to be in a church. Every week. Because I can tell you, those weeks or those months I did that, some of the things I got from that are still working in my life today. The church is God's structure. That's where training takes place. Any other Adulam that you know, I don't know where that is. The place is where people sit under a leader and he's teaching them and forming them. Abraham had that kind of structure, you know, right? Abraham in his house had a structure where he had 318 men in his house. And he was just training them casually until one day that was it for battle. Abraham picked 318 men he stayed in his house and went to fight against four kings, like four countries. 318 men, they defeated them and came back. Not one person died. I recovered everything. 318 men. They didn't know that battle was going to come. They were just training them. Please follow me this morning. Get in that structure where God can mold you. Get in that structure where you can be trained. Get in that structure. Get in that structure. So please don't replace that with Adulam or anything you want to say. Most of those things are people trying to discredit the place of the local church. That's what I actually think. Amen. And some of you that are having models of people who do field ministry, who just go up and down preaching. There's nothing wrong with that. There is that part in the body of Christ where people just become itinerant ministers. And some of you will stand there. Not all of us will stand and be part of, and lead a church like I'm doing. Are you what I'm talking about? Some of you will just travel around. But listen to me. Whether you are traveling around or not, every soldier has a platoon. I get what I'm saying. You have a base, a church where you return to. Except you are in the field, and the church knows you are in the field. Once you're not in the field, you have a base. That's where you are brought up. And one of the major examples I love, what I'm saying, go and look at Brother Hagin. He had an itinerant ministry, but he said he believes everybody, that he wishes everybody that ever becomes an evangelist or whatever should at least pastor for some time so that you understand how church works. I get the point. Look at how solid. So you have a church. There was a time, you know, when Rema, Brother Engin's ministry, you know, grew and had a church, and there was a church in there. But Ahege himself was not a pastor. The son at the time was the pastor. And he would go there every Sunday and worship. Because it's not about big, it's not whether you are big or you are small. You know, I've been emphasizing this thing I'm saying throughout this year. Have a church where it's now some of you that things are not working in your life. Some character stuff they are trying to pull out of your life. Just commit to church. They will drop off by themselves. And stop looking for reasons why you will not be in a church. Stop doing that. Some of the mess the devil is causing in your life now is because, you know, I said all the time, I heard from a man of God when I was growing up. He said to us, when a lion wants to devour the sheep, it will first isolate the sheep. Because
The sheep walk in flock. They walk as flocks, right? Now, when you want to devour the sheep, you isolate. And let me tell you what isolation does. It's not as though when the sheep, when they are in that group, you can't do anything to them. The reason you can't hurt them because there is a shepherd guiding them. But when the guy isolates that sheep feels, I can just be on my own. What will happen? It becomes a prey. You must always isolate yourself. Be in church and grow. Is the church of God perfect? No. Will everything be right in the church? No. But at least take a clue from your parents. Your parents are church members there now, if they're still alive. At least most of our homes. There are 10 churches where everything is not fine. Sometimes they come back from church with complaints. Do you hear those things? They're coming back complaining. What kind of? This elder, this deacon. Now you think after the complaint, next Sunday they won't go. Before 6 o'clock, they're preparing for church, singing. Early in the morning. I say, it's not that complaint 2 days ago. They're going back there. But then you are very volatile. Anything that happens, you change your mind. So that's why you've accepted Satan's ministry to roam from place to place, looking for who you will devour. And let me say this to you, if you've been to 3-4 churches and everything is wrong with those churches, stop searching again. Something is wrong with you. You are the problem. If you go to one church, stop accepting on Facebook saying, I've gone to many churches. But this one, I said, I've been to 4 or 5 of them. All of them have the same problem. I said, maybe you are the problem we are looking for. Because how come everywhere, everyone has a problem except you? You know, if you have a friend in your life, that if you meet someone that everyone has a problem except the person, that person is the problem. Are you aware? Huh? See, I went to that church. I went to that place. Those ones, too much sin. I went to that place. Those ones, unserious. I went to that place. Those ones, I can't even be there. Now, how come all of them have problem? You don't have any problem. Maybe we are looking at the problem. And if you think the church is full of hypocrites, that's actually correct. That's why you can be a member. Because if the church was not a church of hypocrites, you cannot be a member. Because you're a hypocrite, that's what I'm saying. If you didn't catch it, let me make it very clear. Because if we say only righteous people should be in church, do you think you'll be there? You now, do you think you qualify to be in this church? If you say every Sunday we need people that have not committed sin in the past 1 month. Amen. This is the way evening session now. Before you attend, make sure you've not sinned in the past 1 month. How many of you will come? I mean any kind of sin. You've not lied, you've not harbored evil thoughts, you've not gossiped, you've not thrown away pure water, sachet. Will you be here in the evening? So the point is, everybody's a work in progress. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So come to us and be better. Amen. Glory to God. So the local church is the place for discipleship. I just completed yesterday's message. Amen. So you are blessed. So words have been spoken concerning you. And you must find it. And you must fulfill it. Let me help somebody here that is new. Okay? Because some people have an issue with how do I find God's plan for my life. I've already showed you that is a universal plan of God. Right? Now, just like that Apple company that I used the last time. As a universal plan, Apple have their purpose statements. Right? But then you understand. Now, that purpose statement covers every product they will ever make. iPhone, MacBook, and all of that. Every product they will make must align to that purpose statement. But then, there are not different products. iPhone does not have the same functionality as MacBook. I get the point. All of them were made for the same purpose in the general purpose statement. But then there is now iPhone. There is now their smartwatch and all of that. What other products does Apple have? There's AirPod, right? And all of that. Now, an AirPod does not function the same way a MacBook functions, but they have the same purpose, generally, which is to provide. That's what we gave on the first day. Now, see where I'm going to with this.
There is a universal plan of God for all of us. But then for all of us individually, there is a custom-made plan for you. Custom-made. So in other words, even though God wants all of us to do ministry, that is the way he wants you to do ministry. That he doesn't want him to do ministry. That is a place he wants you to do ministry. That doesn't want him to do ministry. That is a place he wants you to live. That doesn't want you to live. That is someone he wants you to marry and work with. That doesn't want this person to marry. So the question is, how do I find that plan for my life? How do I know what God wants me to do at every time? Do you want to hear this? And I'm going to simplify it. How do I find where God wants me to be? How am I sure that God wants me to be in Enugu now? How am I sure God doesn't want me to go to Spain? How do I find it? I know God wants all of us to serve him. But then, how do I know even the church to join? How do I know even the city to live in? How do I know even the wife to marry? How do I find out what God has said about me particularly? Are you following me, friends? And it's good you find this. Because if you don't find God's love for your life, you're wasting your time. Psalm 127 verse 1. Give me that verse on the screen. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. This scripture opened up to me recently. If God doesn't build a house, your labor is in vain. Now, what that means is, if you're not doing what God wants you to do, if God is not the one involved in whatever building you are making, everything you are doing is in vain. And that's why many of us labor in vain, for real. God wants you to do business, for instance. But there is a business God will not want you to do. And you must be able to find it. God wants you to marry. But there is someone God will not want you to marry. You should be able to find who the person is. And it's okay you find it. Because one of the things you should know is, you are dealing with God who knows the end from the beginning. I say it this way, God knows tomorrow better than you know yesterday. And so you can trust him. You can trust him to find what he has said you should do and walk into it. Stop living your life by trial and error. Find what God ordained for you before the world was made and align yourself to it. I say it again, stop living life by trial and error. Stop trying this city, and when it doesn't work, you move to the next city. Find what God has ordained for your life and step into it. Isaiah 46 verse 10 tells us that God knows tomorrow. Not exactly, but look how he put it. Let's read together. Declaring the end from the beginning. Give me NLT. New Living Translation. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. So you are dealing with a God who can tell the future before it happens. You are dealing with a God who knows what will happen next year. So since you know a God who can tell what will happen next year, why not find out what his plan is? Why not find out what he wants you to do? You are a man in prophecy. So why not find that prophecy that God has spoken concerning you? There is something God has said about your career. Why not find it? And we saw on the first day, that this was, they came before we were even born. So why not find out in the plan of God that is a city he believes you should be in at this moment? Why not find it? Why not find it? Are you following me, friends? So you need to find God's plan. He knows the end. And you know, one of the reasons why I love finding God's plan and working in it is because I know God has good intentions for me. He can't lead me to somewhere that will crumble. So 119 verse 68 tells us God does good. Only good is God. Only good is God. Glory to God. Thou art good and doest good. A translation said, only good is God. Hallelujah. He does good. So when he leads you to a certain place, it's because he has good intentions for you in that place. When he leads you to a certain woman to marry, he has good intentions for you for that woman. He will not lead you astray. So you can dare to find his plan and to walk in it. Following God's plan will lead you away from misfortune and lead you into safety and abundance. Now, I am not saying that when you follow God's plan, you will never have a problem again in your life. That's what I'm saying. Because even if you following God's plan, there will be challenges. Jesus followed God's plan, for instance, he went to the cross. Paul followed God's plan, for instance, and there were times he was imprisoned. But what it means is that when you follow God's plan, eventually he will lead you into good things. You know, in Genesis 26, I want to share this one. I talk about it all the time. Genesis 26, we read about Isaac. That was famine in a city. And Isaac was packing his bag to relocate from that city because there was famine. And the word of the Lord came to him and told him, do not leave that city. The natural thing to do when there was famine would have been to relocate. And the Lord told him to remain there. Don't leave the city. Dwell there. And the Bible said, Isaac stayed there. If you get to verse 12, I don't know why you're showing message. If you get to verse 12, the Bible will tell you that in that same city, Isaac prospered. Isaac prospered. Now, naturally, if there is famine, just like in Nigeria, I'm saying because this is Nigeria now, there is economic meltdown. There is recession actually in Nigeria. There is famine currently in Nigeria. Don't you think there is famine? There's famine, no. There's famine. Sincerely, if my father wakes up now, he will not believe that this is happening. I'm not joking. You know, my mom used to send me to the market, and I kid you not, with 200 naira to buy tomato and buy fish. I'm not joking. There was fish then, 30 naira. How many of you remember? Am I talking to myself? Fish. Glory to God. Now, you know, these days, you know, I used to say this jokingly. Every time I would go to market to restock in the house, I can give like, you know, well, just two now. 70,000, 80,000. As soon as I give that money, I'm expecting that when I can tell my security, please, when once the keke horns open the so they can drive in because we went to buy the whole market. And they'll just come back with one bag. And sometimes, sincerely, it happens to me all the time. When they come in, I'm still looking outside. Like, are people still coming? It has finished. And that is the situation of things. And every man will tell you it happens to him. Every time you go to market, sometimes you say, I just released 200,000 today for restocking. So your mind, they're feeling, let's go and clean the store because we'll store yam in barns. Sometimes they come back with four yam. Four two bars like this. Just come in and when you saw, because my wife works with lists, she writes lists. So as I see the list, they say yam, 15,000 10,000. I say, okay, fine. 10,000 So maybe they should bring in like 32 bars of yam. Then they'll call me with like four or five. And I come to the kitchen, I'm just walking up and down in the kitchen. What is happening? And I tell you, there is no that thing called famine. This is it. And it keeps getting bad. It keeps getting bad. And you see the problem, I'm just trying to let them know that I know what is happening in the country. Because everything is increasing except for salary. That one has refused to add. It's just there. It's just there. Maybe if God allows me, I'm going to address your finances. But one thing I'm going to tell you to do is please get another source of income. Get three or four or five or six. I'm very serious. So any employer that tells you now not to have another source of income does not like you. I'm just saying. Amen. Because God is good. God is just good. So, in this situation, everybody naturally will want to jackpot. And that's what this guy wanted to do. Isaac wanted to run away. And the Lord told him to stay back in Egypt. He said, don't go anywhere. I'll stay back in Gerar, rather. And he agreed to stay. Bible said that same year, Isaac stood in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. That's what they call following God's plan for your life. The same year. That's why your prosperity is not dependent on the economy of the country where you live. It is about whether you align the gospel. Because look at this. God knows the future. If God is saying you should stay in Nigeria, do you possibly think that God did not know that this situation will be like this by now? He knew. I get what I'm saying. Because actually, you know, I used to say this all the time. When I finished SS3, I got an opportunity to relocate from Nigeria to the US. I'm telling you, my people here will tell you. To go and school and stay there. It was a big one. It came, I didn't plan for it. Somebody came to our school to address us about how to travel abroad. And then the students were not even having it that day. After school, after the whole school, they gathered all of us and said, you want to travel abroad? They were shouted, away, we don't want you. And the woman left angrily, stormed out of the hall. And, you know, she was going. So I came here. I came from the embassy. So, I went with one of my friends. I met her. Say, you know, we just came on behalf of the students. I don't know what made me do that. This is not how we're sorry. You know, people are just very tired. But I really got what you were saying. I asked a few questions. She said, so you are really following? I said, I wasn't following. I said, she said, how are you following? I said, I was following. She said, okay, fine. I like you already. This is my number. This is the brochure. This is this. Gave me even, you know, all I had to do was to write SAT and write TOEFL and all of that. But is it not what it calls me? TOEFL, yes. And I was so happy. She said, give me a call. I will personally. I said, okay. I went to observe, I showed my people. But I went to pray that night. Shaka Kabarada Fathers, I go to the US. Which way? Who are you? And I didn't feel bad. Because had I gone to the US, you will not be here. That's the truth. Glory to God. Do you know the point? I might have been there. I might have studied a good course. I will do well. Possibly now I'm even a very rich man. Wealthy man. But I have not yet fulfilled God's plan for my life. You must begin to determine what matters to you. You know, I told you the other day, you see this money you're trying to make, your next of kin is waiting. Once you die, they'll start eating it. No matter, I'm telling you. Because sometimes next of kin, they don't know how you made the money. Just like after all this struggle, you now make money, your children grow up to meet you a millionaire, as it should be. You know, right? They grow up to meet you and you're a billionaire. You know, they say that I don't like this car. Please change my car. You just look at them and say, oh, you have car. So all these efforts we are putting in, we must be able to know what really counts. So I've been in the US now, living my best life. Or I would have even died. You know, walking out of God's way for your life. You know, any place God is trying to stop you from, you don't know what will happen when you go there. And you don't know what will happen when you stay back. Are you following me, friends? So Isaac stayed back and prospered there. Maybe I would have gone and become transgender. And come back like after 12 years. I say, hello, mommy. How you guys? That can't happen in my house. They will beat me. Glory to God. So Isaac stayed there. The contrast of that was Elimelech. In Ruth chapter 1, there was famine too. And he went with his family. They ran away to Moab. He went with his wife and two kids. They got there. Things were looking up. Things were looking so good. The children even grew up and got married. Married Ruth and married Orpah. Mahlon and Chilion married Ruth and Orpah. And then down the line, Elimelech died. Down the line, Mahlon died. Down the line, Chilion died. Now, Naomi was left with nothing. Now, when it was time for her to retrace her steps, guess where she returned to and she finally prospered? The land where they left. so they shouldn't have left in the first place. Now, I'm not saying that anyone that is having tough time is not in God's plan for their life. That's what I'm saying. I get what I'm saying. But I'm saying God knows tomorrow. He knows where that is misfortune. He wants to lead. He wants to lead you away from there. Amen. When Herod wanted to kill Jesus in Matthew chapter 2, the angel of God appeared to Joseph and told him, carry this child and run to Egypt. Now, I like talking about this because in Isaac's case, God told him not to go to Egypt. And people have made a lot of message from that particular story. Do not go to Egypt. Egypt is the sign of bondage. That's not what God was saying. Because in Jesus' own case, they told them to carry Jesus to Egypt. So God has nothing wrong with any country. It's just that it may not be where you need to be for now. Are you following me, friends? God has nothing against any city. Some of you, some city they may call city of sin, where everything goes wrong. That will be where God will ask you to go to. Are you following me? He has nothing wrong with anywhere. Just like human beings, God has nothing wrong with anybody. Actually, Israel is born again. Now, when God says don't marry this sister, God is not saying that sister is a bad person. God is not saying he hates that sister. God is just saying that sister is not for you. And you need to get it. That you didn't marry someone, does not make that person a bad person. Are you following me? And sister, you better, and brothers, have a good esteem. That someone said, I don't think you should get married, does not mean that you're a bad person. It just means either you're not good for him or he's not good for you. So that you don't start saying, that person he married, what does she have that I don't have? Maybe nothing. Just that is not for both of you to meet. I get the point. Person she married, I'm even richer than him. I'm even fatter. I'm even taller. That's not the point. It's not just for both of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. So we follow God's plan. And when you are in his plan, he will fulfill his words for you, to you. You know, Numbers 23 verse 19 tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. When he promises, he will keep to it. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Why did I get on this journey now to do this church thing I'm doing? Because God said I should do it. And when we were stepping out, I didn't have a dime. I didn't have one naira. And I kid you, I mean, it's not like nothing. But what do we say about God said it's time? Now, the human mind I would have loved, actually, to save up some money. I think that makes some sense. At least buy drums, buy speaker at least. We started with nothing. And sometimes that's how I love ministers to start. That's why, you know, as we progress and graduate, maybe we want to send you to come plant a church. Well, we could give you some support financially. But you see, I always want you to start from the scratch. Say amen. Or even if there is money. There are experiences that you must have that you cannot have if you don't pass through it. You remember to experience the days you come in church and look around, you are the only person in church. And you do opening prayer and do prayer and worship and preach to yourself and go home. Or do opening prayer, do prayer and worship and say, today is evangelism. You step out and go and preach to souls. Win about 5 souls. Come back and summarize. I'm standing on a exalted platform and go home. That's how it began. That's how it began. And the timing was right. Not because everything looked good, but because God said it was time. And so you must be able to find God's plan and follow it. He will fulfill his words to you. The only thing about following God's plan is, you know, it's so exciting. It's one place where God will lead you. And the good thing is that when he leads you, he goes with you. He doesn't lead you and say, just go, I'm coming. He goes with you. Sometimes he even goes ahead of you. So you can trust him. Are you following me this morning? You can trust his plans. Amen. You should want to follow God. You know, Brother Hagin said something in his book. He said you must learn to always ask God all the time
Is this your plan for me? Is this your plan for me? At all times. Is this your plan for me? Should I do this now? Should I do it?
I mean, even when you think you found God's plan for your life, always, before we came to this place, for instance, to do this meeting, I took time. I prayed. I had already seen everything, the financial, whatever that was going to take. So I prayed. I kept asking God, should I? Should I? Until I was able to confirm. And if you know what this place possibly cost, and what this meeting possibly cost, you will know that it actually costed something. This meeting, we've spent all times four of anything we've ever spent in any conference that we ever held. And yet, this meeting is holding debt-free. And nobody was harassed. Nobody, letter was not written to anybody. We just told sense to give. We raised funds for this meeting. We just flagged up somebody once, right? That was the only time. There was no time we came back and said, please give more money. Do you know why? Now, it's not because we have all the money, because all of a sudden we didn't have anything. But God said you can go. And you will keep to his word. Because where he lives, he provides. But when you send yourself, you pay your transport fare. Because if I send you to go buy something for me, I have to give you tea fare to go now, Abby. But when you send yourself, you pay. Now, it doesn't mean that everything was smooth. We had times when thought he was coming. All we did was return back to God in the name of Jesus. We prayed. And look at the number of people here. By this evening, it will be more. By tomorrow's service, it will be more. Now, and you see, this is, now I'm saying this openly, this is without, and with confidence, without any side attraction. Nothing like we are bringing this musician. I get what I'm saying. Nothing like, you know, if we had brought, if we said, let's bring five musicians everywhere just. But I said, I told God, you know, I'm not going to bring anybody. At first, I wanted to get someone. I told my pastor, Dad, can you come? You know, because we're using a very big hall. I don't want to just be in front. He said, don't worry, just go. And listen, you don't have to actually, you know, stress yourself in this life. If you find what God wants you to do. Every time I ask him, is it time? You should not go use a venue because you can afford it. It's because God said you should. That's why ministers have to listen to me. Relocation in ministry is not strategy for growth. It is divine leading. Don't say, let's change what we're saying. We'll position at the center of the city. All of that. Now that's why people teach church growth and all that teaching is secular humanism. They're teaching business strategy. And because once you remove leading of the spirit from the whole thing, they're just playing. Are you guys following me this morning? To find out, is it what God wants me to do? Now, please, warning, don't try to find what God wants you to do through your emotions. It's not about how you feel. Emotions is the most misleading thing when it has to do with finding God's plan. Because emotions are volatile too. You know, how many of you have ever felt so good about something you want to do? And after 1 week, you don't feel nothing about it again. Does it happen to you? Yeah. Maybe you want to. Give me an example. You want to start a business. You are so excited about it. Sometimes it keeps you awake. You're even awake. You're just planning. We'll just start. We'll just plan. We'll just rearrange. After like 1 week, you wonder, what was I thinking? What had that even crossed my mind? You can't trust the emotions. You can't choose that God wants you to do this because you're happy. You can't also say God doesn't want you to do it because you're sad. Happy or sad is not the question here. Are you following me? Please be careful with emotions. Be careful. Don't consider your emotion. That's why some people choose who they want to marry just because they're in love. Love is also an emotion. Now, almost all of us here can tell. How many of you have loved more than one person
in this lifetime deeply? Just raise your hand. Just keep waiting it. I didn't say you detect the person you love in your heart. More than one person. Enough for. If we tell all the people that have not raised up their hand, they are the main culprit. And when you love that person at first, you are so sure that this is it. Even name your kids. In your mind. Then the person begins to show you drama. After Obanye give one or two movies, you now go wonder, wondering, how did I even meet this devil in my life? It's just emotion. I get to the point. Glory to God. So the person moves from the plan of God for your life to a prayer point. Father, I disconnect myself from every wrong relationship in the name of Jesus. Everyone I'm connected to, that I'm not meant to be connected to, I disconnect myself in the name of Jesus. Angels of God, get to work. How did he enter in the first place? It's just an emotion. You know, you acted on emotions. Now, I'm not saying love is not important in marriage. Love is important. Marry who you love, oh. Because by the time you finally find the will of God, you must love the will of God. If you find the will of God, you don't love the will of God, please leave that will of God. It's not the will of God. I'm very serious, too. You should love the will of God. You know, growing up, I used to be afraid of will of God in marriage. Very, very well. Because they made us believe that will of God is the ugly one. Will of God, they said there's this guy, many people are coming to, he wanted to marry. God said no, and God led him to a cripple to marry. Now, having grown up, I'm going to tell you, God can lead you to a cripple. But one of the ways he will lead you to that cripple is that you will fall in love with that cripple. God cannot force. Oh, Jesus Christ. See, I manage it like that. There are four or five things, talking about marriage, that will happen before you are sure you found God's plan for your life in marriage. Should I tell you? Number one is love. There must be emotional attraction. I've run out of myself, but it's okay. Let's just flow like this. Then number two, of course, that is divine leading. That's why we ask you to pray. Pray again. Pray again. Pray again to be sure that God is leading you. But you observe, before you even start praying, it's because you are in love with the person. Is that not true? There are some ladies that people ask you, and you don't even tell pastor because you don't even want to pray. The prayer starts because at least there is interest. Are you following me? So there is divine leading, there is love, there is divine leading. Then there is counsel. Let's add that one. Counsel of people that have gone ahead of you. Parents, pastors, very important. Glory to God. Then there are other things I can add. Things like health. If the Lord says yes, and your emotion says yes, say yes, and your counselor say yes, and genotype says no, it's not the will of God. Say amen. Yeah. Then there is the fifth one. This fifth one is the most important. Not the, okay, it's also important. The will of that person. Because if the first four are correct, but the person said no, it is not the will of God. Yeah, Joe, like, I don't want that. I like saying this, these five things must be in place. If the person you've prayed, God said yes, you even love the person, genotype says yes, your pastor thinks it should work, but the person said, I don't want you. Now, let me tell you what that means. You did not hear wrongly from God. Leading of God in marriage is not God saying, this is the person you must marry. Don't marry the person you've died. God doesn't talk like that. There is no particular person that God has ordained for you that you should marry. I hope you know that. I don't know where God has said it from, but it's not true. Let me tell you why it's not true. To start with, what if the person that God ordained for you to marry dies?
He lives a careless life and dies. So you remain single. Okay, what if that person mistakenly marries another person? You understand? Maybe he himself walked out of God's way for his life and married someone else. It means because he walked out of God's way for his life, you have automatically walked out of... No, it's not true. I always say this. Do you know the Bible actually permits that when you lose your husband or your wife, that you can remarry? So if there is one person God has planned that you're going to marry, how come God allows you to remarry? Is it that from the onset he has planned three people for you, knowing that you will lose your husband? No. When God tells you you should marry this person, what God is saying actually is that you can marry this person. You can. Just like you go to market, you want to go and buy a shoe. Your size is size 40. And size 40, you have like 8 of them. Choose one and wear. Now, if you choose one and they say, someone has bought this one, what do you do? So leave people's wife alone. Thought I was very convinced it's the person, but she's married. She's no more the will of God. She must say yes. Now, these 5 things don't help you know that you found God's will. If it is, if this, now, if there is emotion, but the will of the leading of the Spirit says no, leave it. The leading of the Spirit must cooperate with counsel. That's why it's always good to get a leadership, so they can lead you through the process of finding it. Now, before you start, now we can down check genotype. Sir, what if God says yes, but genotype says no? You think God is not wise? How will he say yes, way? But I know people that are already married and they are yes. Well, that is divine intervention and God is going to come through for them. Say amen. He will. But then you are not married. Or you want to start praying that God will come through for you too. Are you blessed? And so, find God's will. But it's not by emotion. Something that you can always find God's will, for instance, is fleece. You know fleece? That's what Gideon did in the Bible. Gideon said, I'm going to put this rag down here. God, if it is your will, by the time I woke up in the morning, let water soak it. Don't do that. You miss God. Father, as I step out, if she's the one, let my eye turn. Your eye will turn. Now, I'll let you tell this funny story. It's fiction, Sha. The guy picked up his Bible, said, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do in this situation. As I open my Bible, any verse my eye fall on, it will be what you've led me to do. He opened his Bible, his eye went straight to that verse, and Judas went and hung himself. He said, no. That's me. It's a mistake, right? I think it's a mistake. So he closed the Bible. He opened again. Go and do thou likewise. That's the next verse he saw. He said, no, that's a question. He closed it again. Opened it again. Whatever thou doest, do quickly. In other words, go and kill yourself now. You can't find God's will like that. Father, if he's the one, let him bring me a flower. About 3 guys might bring you a flower tomorrow. That's throwing a fleece. Please don't do that. The reason is simply, one reason is simply because anything can affect circumstances. Anything can make anything happen. Anything can make anything happen. So people have missed God through that thing. Some even become superstitious. As I was leaving my house, I just knew I shouldn't go for that journey because I hit my left leg on a stone. Better mind how you walk. Or as I was sleeping, I woke up, my eye was twitching. Anything can make your eye twitch, please. To even start with, if you are stressed, your eyes will twitch. Most of the stress. But once your eye twitches, you believe something bad is going to happen. Say, sir, but it works. It works because you believe it. That's not how God leads anybody. Shout amen, somebody. Yeah. So don't use please. It will always fail. And even if you think you found God that way, in some cases, there is such a thing as the mercy of God coming through for you. But that's not God's way. Third thing that you should avoid in trying to find God's plan, not avoid, but be careful with when you want to find God's plan for your life, is prophets. Yeah, please write it. Be careful with prophets. Be careful.
I thank God I'm a pastor and they're hearing it from me.
Be careful with prophets. Many people have missed God because they don't know how to interact with the prophetic. And because many prophets don't even know how to use their calling well. Hey, stand up. I see you in Jalingo. Be careful, though. He went to one meeting. The guy said, it's Niger. So I see you in Niger. So he came and told me, I said, ah, thank God. It's not even like people see South Africa or maybe Canada. See in Niger. So what I do in Nigeria should be in Niger, please. Now, I'm not despising the prophetic. But the role of the prophet in the New Testament and the Old Testament are totally different. Now, let me explain it to you. If I'm a prophet in the Old Testament, I don't have the Holy Ghost in me, but the Holy Ghost can come upon me. Now, I'm facing Israel, who all of them do not have the Holy Ghost in them. So, if God wants to get through to them, God will tell me to tell them. They have nothing to use to check whether I'm correct or not. The only thing they have to use to check is whether the words I spoke came to pass. Do you understand now? The New Testament now, I have the Holy Ghost in me as a prophet. You also have the Holy Ghost in you as a prophet. So there is something you can check with, because what is talking to me is also inside of you. So, are there prophets today? Yes. What is their work? Their work is, of course, to teach and other things, but then to confirm whatever God has told you. Now, can a prophet tell you something you've never heard in your spirit? Yes. That one can happen. A prophet can tell you that it's time to go to Ghana, but you've never heard it in your spirit. Now, what do you do with that? You don't say, I'm throwing it away. Say, okay, sir. Then you go back and pray and confirm it for yourself. Because me as a pastor, there are things that God tells me about people that they've never heard about themselves. But I know it's true. But it's wrong for me as a pastor to go and impose it on them. My father was sharing this story, for instance. He saw one guy and told him, he called him and said, I've thought of traveling to the UK, but I actually saw you in the UK. He said, but then, go and pray. Gave him, not like 10 minutes of I've prayed, about 3 months, pray every day. Even when the guy came back and said, sir, I've confirmed, my dad told us that he's still going to delay him for a couple of months to be sure. I know what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, it is him. That's why pastors must be careful with how they invite prophets to their stage. Because the prophet can come here. You know, the problem, prophets can cause trouble and go home. It is the pastor that begins to clean the mess. Call a lady who is in marriage and say, I see you getting married. The man, the girl is married. It's not a pastor that will come back and say, no, he didn't mean it like that. He meant he saw your marriage prospering. Amen. You know, one painful story. Every time I teach on this is the story of, I think that's 1 Kings 13. That man of God from Judah. That story breaks my heart every time I read it. The man came down. God sent him. Look at this story. If you've not read it before, let me tell you this story. God sent him. And he came and prophesied against a particular altar. And as he was talking, the power of God struck and broke the altar into pieces. Such power. The king was there. The king pointed him and was like, arrest that guy. The king's hand withered. Talk of a man sent by God. And the king began to beg him, oh God, please. And he said, okay. Prayed for the king. His hand was restored. Say power. That one is power. And the king said, oh, you come in and eat. He said, the Lord has told me not to eat anything. And to make sure that I don't even return back through the same way that I came. And the king let him go. And as he was going, some people witnessed that particular incident. One of the people that witnessed the incident were the sons of one old prophet. So they went home and told their father that there's a prophet that came to town. Look at what he did and all of that. And the old prophet said, are you serious? Prepare my donkey for me. And he got on his donkey. I began to ride towards that young prophet. Met him somewhere, resting under the tree. I got to him and said, are you the man of God that came from Judah? He said, yes. I told him, come back and come and eat. Look at it. He said, come home with me and eat bread. Watch. See the next verse. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. Verse 17. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. I said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. I'm also a man of God. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee. So this guy had from God, but this was not just a prophet, an older prophet. So even when you are taught honor, you should. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I had a vision too. He said he should come back. And this man of God agreed and turned back to the house. They were on the dining table eating. And the word of the Lord came. Guess who the word came from? The old prophet. And said, because you've disobeyed the Lord and you've done what he said you should not do, he said, you will die. Well, let me tell you what I have in mind. I would have fought on that table. We would have fought. That table, oh no, it will not contain any of us. Now, you are the one that told me, angel told you. Now, God. Glory to God. The last thing I remember of him was that I fought because I will fight, I will piece everything, salt, pepper, everything. The guy started going home. On his way, a lion devoured him. And when they told the prophet, the old prophet, because the lion devoured him and didn't eat his body, just stayed there. The old prophet said, oh, he's that man of God. He died because he disobeyed the Lord. Listen, you should be able to. I'll give you some counsel when it has to do with prophets and divine leading. Please, do not be careless with how you take prophecies. And anyone you get, vet it with your spirit man. Not because people are false prophets, not just because of the reputation of the prophets, but because people can miss it. People can make mistakes. I think what happened to that man of God actually was that prophet was envy. How can I be in this town and God will send another man from Judah to come and do that kind of miracle? Let me go and deceive him. Envy can lead people too far. Envy. So who is to be blamed? I blame the man of God. You heard directly from the Lord. The first time I read the scripture, I said, but you heard from God. This one said, angel told him. Person, as a small boy. I said, at least God is bigger than angel. Why not go with God? What God said. Let me give another counsel, please. When you have to be the prophets, know the voice over your life. That's again why it's important to belong to a church. God is no sane father always sends strange voices to speak to his children. Imagine you have a father. Father wants to talk to you. And every time he wants to talk to you, he's sending somebody you don't know from nowhere. He say, are you not? Aaron, is time, Aaron, say, hey. Is your father not? He said, I should tell you to come. They can kidnap you like that. Somebody was kidnapped like that recently. Kaka just stopped. Your auntie sent you to buy this, right? He said, yes. So your auntie said, I should bring you. And he entered, and that was it. No sane father will send strangers. And that's what you do in the spirit. Anybody can look up and say, shaka bala bala. So says the Lord, your name is this. And you say, yes, sir, yes, sir. You don't have pastor. Now, when you hear those things, don't insult it. Don't say, I don't need you. Take it. Say, thank you, sir. Now, you have a prayer life. Have a pastor. I have a son here that the man of God called and said, it's time for you to start ministry. I say, it's not time for you to start ministry. I'm not intimidated by the sight of the prophets. I'm not saying I get what to say, but it's not time. This one is my son. How can I give birth to a child and work at the baby 5 years? And you come, I'm still trying to nurse the baby. You come and meet it's time for your child to become the bank manager. It's not time for my child to become bank manager. That's what I'm saying. That's what we actually do. Be careful. You want to find God's plan for your life. It's not by jump, because this is in our generation. You want to get married, you go with three pictures. You go to a prophet's house. Says, "Dad, good evening, daddy. This one is a bank manager. This one has shop at Alaba. This one, he doesn't have too much money. He's just a teacher. That's the one God wants you to marry." Because it's not about today. It's about tomorrow. The will of God will not always be poor.
You know what I said?
The will of God will not always be poor. Stop that thing you are doing. Say this one. Say it has to be that one because I don't have money. better be sure it has future. Stop that. You want to find God's plan. You cannot depend. Even me as a, let me tell you the role I play. Help you. You guys come to my office now. I don't want to do this. I said fine. I'm going to pray. My job as a pastor is to make you pray. I'll monitor you. Make sure you pray the prayer. So that I already know what the answer is. But I just let you pray. My wife is saying she can tell. There are many things I've told about many people in this place. But just both of us know. I said that one is going to be a pastor. One of these days in this church. But we've never mentioned it. Because the person has to find it. Are you following me? There are things I can tell you, but it will resonate. Now, by the time we get into the prophetic move tonight, because tonight is going to be a prophetic flow, amen. When we walk up to you and tell you things, both of these find out they will just resonate with your spirit. You would have, you've heard that thing before. Sometimes God brings those words because He's been talking to you, but you've been ignoring it. So He now sends a prophet. And not to come and lead you. You want to travel. Daddy, is it time to travel? It's not time. Stay back. Now, should you confirm from your pastor before you travel? Yes. What's your job of a pastor? To ensure that you head right. I get what I'm saying. To ensure. Put you through prayers, all of that, and you say, okay, once he ensures, fine. Because sometimes we blame men of God because we have given them a job and they've given themselves a job that God did not give them. Is it your pastor that chooses who you marry for you? So when the marriage fails, you come and blame your pastor. Did I choose your wife for you? For some reason, I really wish I can choose wife for people here. You know, the pastoral ministry is a very interesting one. You see two people about to get married. You know with all your heart that these people are making a mistake. You lead them to pray, they refuse. You counsel them, they refuse. You give them regimen, they refuse. They just want to marry. You delay them, they refuse to be delayed. You give them regimen, they will not pray. You ask them to stop, they will never stop. What do? You marry them. Because man is a creation of choice. I get what I'm saying. You marry them, then you stand by the side. And you're now praying, Shaka. They will still come to you. You still attend to them. Amen. I've seen this happen many times too. And how I was encouraged was the day Pastor Chris said it. Pastor Chris Clement said that the truth of the matter is that half of the people he has married, he has waited that he disapproved of all their marriage. I said, eh? He said, yes. But then, you will marry them. Don't do it. Don't say no. You might. That actually, that's the job of a pastor. You are not meant to force it on people because you are sure. Then you are not meant to cast them away and say, for now, never talk to you again. No, sir. You talk to the person. Because, and I want to say this to ministers and pastors, please. When you counsel someone like that, person says no. And you tell the person says no. Please don't discard the person. Because that's discarding the person you want to do. You are now cooperating with Satan afresh. So that when the person gets into trouble tomorrow, he has nowhere to run back to. So what I do is I always leave the door open. But I can keep helping you.
to know what we can do for you. Amen. But don't be like that. But careful with the prophet. That's what I'm saying. Not just God. Anybody just go say, I heard from the Lord. Shaka Barabato says the Lord. Your name is this. Now, it's not about whether the prophet is accurate or not. Agabus in the New Testament meant met Paul and gave Paul a prophetic word that the person that has this clock, when he gets to Jerusalem, he will be arrested. And Paul said, yes, I know. Not only in Jerusalem, but everywhere I go to, God told me that chains and bonds await me there. He still went to Jerusalem. Because Agabus, you are not wrong. But this prophet does not mean I should not go. Is someone learning something this morning? So, finding God's plan for your life. It's not by prophets and all of that. Let me simplify it for you. First place you look at for to find God's plan for your life is the Word of God. Look at God's Word. God's Word is simple. Very simple. Now, if you find something in God's Word, an instruction in God's Word, be it known unto you that God cannot lead you against that instruction. For instance, Ephesians 4:28 tells us, let him that stole steal no more. Now, if I am praying about the business I can do, once I may not know what it is, but I know what it cannot be. God cannot lead me to something that will be stealing money from others. That's why Yahoo can never be the will of God. I get what I'm saying. If I'm praying for business now, God's word already says, for instance, we should flee sexual immorality. We should flee fornication. So I cannot be wanting to go to do hookup and I say, God, please lead me. He won't lead you. Because already you're out of his will, clearly written in the word of God. It's the one problem I'm talking about. So before we begin to pray to know that things, find out what the word of God said about the situation. That has solved over 60% of the problem for you. You know what it is not. I always give this example again when it has to do with marriage. God's word already tells you who you should not marry. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Ejo. Then unbeliever comes, you are praying, Father, is it the person? It is not the person. That God will not stop you. But it's not the person. Amen. Let me say this. God's word also teaches that if there is a believer who is unserious with God, living in sin, does not even care. He sins and doesn't mind. He doesn't even care about God. Don't marry the person. All these other prayer points you're praying is not working. Because the simple instructions of God's word are there. Now, I am not by this saying that you must marry a bishop. I know what I'm saying? Or a pastor. That's not what I'm saying. I had some of my sons here that are leading churches. I said, your job is not to marry the most spiritual person in your church. I told you that. That's not your job. I said, you're looking for a wife and not mama. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Because many pastors marry mama. So you don't love the person. The person is even better. Now she preach pastor church. See the way mom preached yesterday. I want to marry someone that can preach like that. God will help you. Your aim is not to marry the most spiritual person in your church. So I'm not saying you must marry mama or marry a pastor. That's what I'm saying. But the person must at least be serious in his work with God. Opeke tempe. Now I can go to church. At least. Let that be a church you go to every Sunday. Be committed there. But if you want to marry, outside our church, maybe a member of mine wants to marry a guy from another church or a lady from another church. I always say to the person, before I approve of this marriage, I want to speak to the pastor that person is at. Church, hello, pastor. There is one Ugo Kechi Nazar that wants to marry my son. Do you know her? Does she come to your church? Because if you're a Christian, somebody should be able to testify that you're a Christian. If you're a Christian in isolation, I don't even trust you because you don't even trust yourself. That is me.
I'm not, of course, you should, by now you should know, I'm not a very careless pastor. I'm not someone that just, you know, maybe we see churches where there are young people, they say, ah, just a, isn't it a free church? This church is actually older than me. Do you understand? This church has been existing for like 50 years before I came. You know, because, I say, wow, because everything I'm trying to do is not what my generation is doing. I've studied over 50 churches that have gone, I shouldn't be seeing this thing, actually, that have gone ahead of us. I've seen the challenge. I've studied it again and again. And I see some things they do. And I see that our generation is actually on the wrong path. I know what I'm doing. And we're still studying. We're still correcting. I get what I'm saying. This day, someone can say, I'm an usher in church. After usher on Sunday, you see the person on Monday, the person is doing hookup on Monday. Now, I'm not no exaggeration, real life story. You know why? Because our process in our churches are weak. Because I'm forming woke. It will happen here. I catch you, I remove you. What even brought this talk now? What brought this talk? God's word is standard. You know, so I will call and say, this man doesn't come to church. You can't tell me, sir, trust me, I'm a Christian. Who will vouch that you're a Christian? You say, my friend. Your friend? I can't trust your friend. So, let me connect to that church. If it's a big church, oh, the pastor, you cannot get to the pastor. Do you have cell leader? Are you in a department? Are you getting what I'm talking about? Let's know. Let me talk to the department head. Okay, how long has this person been there? I really want to know. And I say this all the time. You know, one of our people here, who is getting married to a brother who was in this church. You know, when she went to tell her father, her father is a minister, a pastor. I told them, this old generation people, I like those people. I told the pastor, father, you know, father said, you have a church now. You attend. Say, is your pastor aware? He said, yes, your pastor is aware. He said, has your pastor spoken to the pastor of the other person? He said, I don't have anything to say about it because your church is done with their due diligence. So go. When they finish, come back. She came back and I smiled. And that's a father who is not insecure. Who doesn't think that church wants to steal the daughter from him. Because to start with, you don't know that's your daughter. That daughter left your house for like 5 years now. You don't know the girl. Because when I see some parents vouch for their children, I used to smile. Some people wonder how your mother used to vouch for you like that. They say, ah, that my daughter, I'm on a girl class. You are wondering who they are talking about. You are not going to anywhere. It's not you. Tuesday, you are even at home. You are not going anywhere. Because some people say, ah, my mom, I'm on a school. So I love what the man did. Say, come talk to your pastor. Let him talk to those people. Let him investigate. Because I don't know this guy coming to marry you. Yes, as a father, you can address if an evil person, you have to ask question the person's community, where is he from? You know, it's very necessary, right? All of those ones. But then, I don't know the spiritual state of this brother coming to marry you. Let your pastor do that. That's his job. And I did my job. Spoke with the pastor, you know, found out, and the brother, solid brother. Solid brother. Do you understand? There are good people. It's you that want to choose the wrong one. Come on, you're praying every day in the altar, rolling. While doing program, you're rolling. We think you're celebrating the goodness of God. You're rolling and saying, Father, if it is possible, let this call pass over me. You know what you're praying? You want God to kill your wife, but God will not do it. You are married already. Can't you see now? So, God's word is the first. Then the next thing you check is your inward man. Now, this is where people get into trouble. Guys, don't expect that God will speak to you through your physical ear. The reason is simply because God is a spirit and he lives in your spirit man. So, check that inward man. Now, the inward man is not just your mind talking to you, no. When you pray, okay, under the inward mind, that's what you call the inward witness. Let me explain that one. That one is easier. Because that's the simplest way God can talk to you. The inward witness is not actually a voice.
That is inward witness. That is inward voice. But inward witness is not a voice. Inward witness is simply a reaction of your spirit man to anything you expose it to. Let me show what I mean. Something is about to happen. A girl is coming around you. A guy is coming around you. And you start praying. Every time you pray about that person, you feel strange. That is not something you can explain. There is no physical reason. But then, every time you pray about the matter, you feel strange. That thing is God talking to you, actually. You get the point? And somebody asks me, how am I sure it's not my mind? Well, simple way to know it's not your mind. Stay longer in the prayer. Pray for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. If that reaction persists, God is showing you something. It's very easy to hear God, I'm telling you. I follow him. It's very easy. And I can tell you, many things I do, I know that I do. For instance, when we wanted to use this place, I'll use this as an example. When I spoke with the pastors, this is not the place they chose. They picked somewhere else. And I went with my wife and Pastor Izu to look at the place. The place was cheaper than this place. So I got into the hall. I was just pacing around. And I said, let us see the manager. So the manager was talked. We left. I told them, well, let us check the base. To start with, I'd never been here before. I know about it, but I've never been here before. So let's check the base. Then we drove in. I just drove in. I said, this is the place. I didn't care about the amount. But this is the place. Now, what happened when we went to that place? I felt this coldness. I get what I'm saying. Now, the place was fine, but I just felt that coldness. I felt this is not it. And you investigate that in prayer. The Bible tells us, for instance, inward witness. In Acts chapter 17, give me verse 6. Acts 17, verse 6. Okay, this is not the verse I'm looking for. But let's leave that. Go to Acts 16, verse 6. Let's leave this one. I'm coming back to this. Acts 16, verse 6. They wanted to go and preach, but they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost appeared and said, my sons, if you preach, I'm going to kill you. No. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost. There was that coldness. So he didn't preach there. Of course, the next verse, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered. The Spirit didn't allow them. Have you ever felt like God is not allowing you to do something? That is God leading you. But many of us don't value this. We want to be hearing, thus says the Lord. Go. Are they in your room? Yes. And sometimes prophets are not making it easier. So when they want to prophesy, they say, Shambra, I heard God in my left ear. A prophet can afford to do that. A pastor cannot afford to do that. The hallmark of the pastoral ministry is simplicity. Because when you make it very simple, you are showing others that they can also do it. When you make it complex, you are trying to tell them you cannot try it. I get what I'm saying. You see, I was healing the sick last night. And notice every time I minister healing here, I don't do it everywhere. If I minister healing here, I try to explain every step I take. If I lay hands, you have to know why I laid hands, what I did, so that you can also do the same thing. That's the end point. So sometimes, how did it come? Just by that feeling. Not physically now. You can't explain the feeling. Sometimes everything is even bad on the outside, but something you just know that you should just go. Just feel good about it. And if you're not so sure, don't assume. Pray. If you pray long, that's what normally say, pray for long. Don't rush anything. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. If when you are done praying and you still find that strong impression, then go with it. That is inward with, that is inward voice. When you hear a voice, not in your physical ear, you hear a voice, your spirit. After you just pray, just hear a voice. This is the way. Isaiah tells us, this is Isaiah Jeremiah, chapter 30, that thy spirit shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isaiah 30, I think verse 19. So, you pray, you check your spirit, man. You might hear something. You will hear something. Sometimes you might see something. But when you see something in your spirit, man, the answer is now in that your inward witness. Then your witness will tell. This I'm telling you now is the most trusted way you can hear God. It is more trusted than prophets. It is more trusted than an open vision. It is more trusted than hearing an audible voice. Even if I hear an audible voice, I check that audible voice with my inward witness. If my inward witness reacts well towards it, I go with it. If it doesn't react well, I leave it. If I see a dream, the answer to your dream, let me teach you how to interpret dreams. Interpretation of your dream is not in the dream. It's in your spirit, man. All this you are trying to say, apple means good luck. Banana means snake means all those are just, it's just drama. Take it from me. Check your inward man. The answer is there. There's something that I don't know if I should say. Do you know that sometimes all these times they say, you know, my dad said this into us last week we went to. He told us, said, sometimes, see, a man of God had a vision for him, had a dream where someone was messing with his wife, was touching his wife. And he got up and went to pray. And the Lord told him, that vision has nothing to do with your wife. It's about what's happening in the church. And use the wife so they can hit home. So someone is messing with the body of Christ and all of that. For such is the bride of Christ. I got what I'm saying. The answer is not in the dream. Stop analyzing and turning it over and say, okay, what's this one? What's that one? Because by the time you get into the prophetic, sometimes God can mess with your emotions to get your message, get the message across. Actually. So, your spirit man is the trusted way. It's that you can trust it. There's a girl in your life, every time you pray, for long, I notice, thank you, Holy Ghost, after a weekend like Zoe, long weekend, or long weekend for like LMP like this, you begin to feel cold about that relationship. But after some time, after the program, 1 week or 2 weeks, you feel good about it again. Please, mind that thing you felt when you finish the program. Because when you're in a meeting where you've heard God's word, you've prayed, your spirit is most alert. Come on, I feel what I'm talking about. That is how God talks to you. How did I know I shouldn't travel to the U.S.? That was the way. I didn't hear any voice. The Lord said, oh, my son, you're going nowhere. No. I just went to pray, Canberra, Catalop, everyone went dead. Father, as I go to the U.S., Shakatakata, dead. I didn't raise the matter again. Till today. I get what I'm saying. It's very easy. And as I'm talking, many of you, there are many mistakes you've made in your life that you remember that you ignored this particular thing. That's how you made that mistake. So when there's a business day coming up, I tell you what to do. Brother Hagin said, I talk about it. He said that the Lord told him, if you follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. Every time I read that in his book, I like to underline it. And I tell you, Brother Hagin is not someone that flaunts his wealth, but Brother Hagin was rich. But Hagin was so rich that he had inheritance. He had investments. He got investment for all his children and all his grandchildren. You don't understand? He passed things down to children because the Bible said a good man leaves inheritance for his. Mm-hmm. That's where we are going to. You know that's where we are going to. But he said, the Lord told him, just follow the word to me, I will make you rich. So he said, when there's a business deal, just pray. Back on your body, just give it up. Get back to me tomorrow. I'll get back to you tomorrow. You just go pray, spend that. If you find that, leave it. No matter how good it's looking. But if you find that, go ahead. That's how some people become very rich. Some of you don't follow the word to me, you just follow sense. And you get into trouble. Some of you doing Forex, doing BTC, doing crypto. That thing can deceive you. You say, our prediction is that the market will go up.
you now put your money there, the market will just go down. In one of those significant years, people in this church can remember, I think it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But I just told them, some of them around me, I said, the market is going to go bad, though. Go and withdraw your money. I know nothing about, I don't even know what you guys are doing there. But I know there is money there. I know something, Sha. Not too much. But I mean, I didn't check no map. I just sense that in the next few months. And boy, they listened to me. And the thing crashed. It crashed like what? Like when you smash, everything went down. We are not without direction. We are not without direction. So Paul was traveling on the sea. There were waves and all of that. But the captain of the ship, using the instrument, had checked and had seen that nothing will go wrong. That's Acts 27. And said, let's continue. And Paul told them, he said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be much hot. I perceive, give me verse 10 of Acts 27. I perceive that something will go wrong. I perceive that this voyage will be much hot. Not only of the laden and the ship, but also for our last. I perceive that this ship will be there, so all of us will die. Paul did not say, I heard. This is the word man talking here. It's what I'm talking about. Paul did not say, the Lord appointed myself, my son. He said, I perceive. So that is inward perception too. We just know things by the Holy Ghost. That is even inward knowing. Where you know things, but you don't know how you know them, but you just know them. On a Megi. Does it happen to you? You just know. Oh, I know. Tell me, say, I know by the Spirit. Paul said, I perceive. I sense. I did not hear any voice, but I really perceive. Of course, I didn't listen to him. Because the captain said, nothing will go wrong in this ship. We've studied the whole whatever. The coast is clear. But I perceive. Of course, things began to go wrong. In fact, there was so much trouble, they were throwing out all their luggages into the water just to make the ship lighter. Things kept going bad. So when they were now, Bible said, after long abstinence, they were now tired, like they've got to the end of the road. Paul stood up again. I said, sirs. Look at it. After long, Paul stood up and in middle, I said, sirs, I love the honor. Because the fact that you can hear God does not mean you dishonor people. God, you're a prophet. You meet an elderly woman who wants to give a prophecy. You say, don't do that. I get the point. Because I can hear God, you don't have sense. So he stops and says, sirs, you should have listened. How can you not to me and not do some great and to have gained this harm and loss? He now told them. But, verse 22, and it's also be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the sheep. Why? Because they have stood by me in this night. This is another way God speaks. There are visions too. An angel of the Lord. So we see Paul heard God two times in this verse. The second one was a vision. An angel appeared. But the first one was not a vision. The first one was just, I perceive. Yes, both of them were totally correct. So those things you sense, you perceive, you know in your spirit, trust them and follow them. That's how we do ministry. How Diana should be in Enugu here. I perceived. I knew it by the Holy Ghost. How Diana went to start church. By the Holy Ghost. I had visions, actually. But then there were perceptions. There was a knowing. There was a particular time I noticed every time I stop talking about this, I stop planning towards this whole church thing, I will just find out that, okay, if I remember it, I just feel scared. But every time I go into prayer, 3 months, 6 months, I just know it is now. I pay attention to that. That's what the people say. That's correct, but I have to be careful. People say things like,
Follow the peace in your heart. Anything you find peace towards, go after it. Well, it's okay. It's right. That's almost what I'm saying. But please, be careful with that peace thing. That peace thing is why people have gotten into trouble. I always ask them, what were you doing before you felt peace? The verse that talks about peace is Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 said, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. So what is teaching in verse 6? Verse 6 is teaching prayer. After that, verse 7 now said, and the peace of God. So you can only be able to follow that peace in your heart when you've spent time to pray. Is someone following me this morning? The peace of God shall fill your heart and your mind. So I actually pray. After praying, I can tell you, well, I think it's time to go for this. Now, how do I know? That peace in my heart. So spend time in prayer. Do you now see why you want to make the decision? Pastor is going to say, pray, pray, pray. It's not just because you just want to make your life tough or bad. You want to be sure that you are hearing well. There's also counsel, but not just from anybody. That counsel is from your pastor and all of that, people that are over you, but they will now counsel you in line with what you are hearing. If you follow what I'm sharing with you, you can't miss God. You shouldn't miss God in your career. You can't be doing career by trial and error. I'll start selling shoe. I'll have some time. I'll start selling. Glory to God. That's how to know what you must do. And if it is a ministry, that's also how to choose a church. You want to choose a church. Let me give you a simple way. I'm a Christian. I don't need church to attend. Very simple thing you should do. Go to the church. Whatever church you want to go to. What is the first thing you look out for? How do you find God's plan again? The first thing I told you is to check the word of God. So, listen to what that church is teaching. What are they teaching? Is it the word of God? Is it the gospel? What is their emphasis? Is it on your spiritual growth? Is it on how to be a billionaire? What is the emphasis? Because it is what they emphasize that they will produce in you. So you check that. You cannot be in a church where the content of their teaching does not totally agree with the word of God. And you are aware. But somebody in marriage is a different case. Well, you are aware. But you just say, well, I'm just going to choose the church. So you check that. When you now check that, you now check what are their values. What do they stand for? Will they push me towards evangelism? Will they push me towards a strong prayer life? Will they push me towards a strong work with God? Are they trying to produce a minister out of me? Now, you check all of this. By these two analyses you made, you screened out many churches. The next question now is, your spirit man now. Where do I find that peace? Are you following me, friends? Because, of course, I mentioned that fit into this thing I said. You now find that peace. You now settle. That's how to find church. How hard is that? Now, some of you that are just going around here, you like what you are doing here. But don't be in a hurry to call us your church. Calm down. Observe what we preach. Observe what we stand for. Observe what we represent. Because we will not change because of you. We emphasize ministry. Do you want to do ministry? We emphasize being serious with God. Do you want to be serious with God? Check what we preach. We preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Check it and know it. Now, when you check and you're okay with it, now, check whether your spirit is at home. And when you find that peace, that you are lying. That's how not to miss it in life. That's how to find where God has sent you. That's how to find a husband. That's how to find a wife. That's how to find a career. That's how to relocate. Not just because this a click. You carry your back and start traveling. You might get into trouble there. Can I say to you, when God makes plans, He considers every aspect of your life. I say this all the time. You see, if you go by yourself, I'm not saying you'll be poor. You might even be very rich. But do you know, Being rich is not all that God wants for you. That is being rich. That is succeeding in ministry. That is spiritual growth. That is good marriage. That is good health. When God makes his plans, he takes every aspect of your life into consideration. When you make your own plans, you just consider one. Are you following me? Do you know that if God helps you to choose the right woman or the right man to marry? You know, there are choices in the book I told you, because this is what I'm talking about. I'm preaching from that book actually now. In that, when there are choices, I believe that if you get them right, about three or five mentioned in that book, that once you get these ones right, every other choice you want to make becomes easy. So I'll give some of those examples. One, for instance, is the choice of the church you join. If you get your church right, almost everything about ministry started. If you get your church wrong, you will struggle. Are you following me? You see this church thing? Serious. If you get that one wrong, because it's that church that will push you to help you grow spiritually. It's church that will help you do ministry. You get a lot of time to struggle. Even if you have a calling to be in the field, it's church that will still train you to be able to get there. Imagine someone has a calling to be an evangelist and God wants the person to step out and begin to visit some nations in the next 12 years. But the person is in a church where they don't train the person. There's no training. There's no preparation for ministry. How would the person do it? So you get church right. Isn't that another idea you must get right? Marriage. You get church right, you get marriage right. Many other things about your life are falling in place. Because if you get marriage right, you've brought in a partner to do life with. You get marriage wrong, it's not as though you totally fell in the will of God for your life. But there will be a lot of hitches, a lot of gallops. You have to move and stop. You have to go. You're just trying to make it work. There are other ones. But those ones, these two, they just stop with them. Because other things like choosing a speech, all those things are still under finding a good church. Amen. Other things like relocation. Location is another very big deal. But I don't have time for that today. I have been teaching on this. I have been teaching on divine geography. Do you remember? Divine geography. It's one aspect that when you get right. And I feel it's good I'm talking about it because we are in the season of relocation in Nigeria now. There are three sets of people who are in Nigeria. Or two. One, people who are planning to relocate. Like they're working on their papers. Maybe your neighbor is one of them. Two, people who don't have money to relocate. And then there is a minute third. People who God said they should stay. You see, I said it. God said it. But you see the other two. So people are in Nigeria, either because they are working on their papers and it has not worked, or they don't have money. You see, if you gather 1,000 Nigerians and give all of them 50 million, the first thing they will do is relocate. More than 900 of them will just run away. And some of you, it's true about you, true. Don't lie. Sometimes I can be very frank with you. If I go say that I should be here, I don't know if I will relocate. So I don't really blame you where you want to relocate. I don't, because sometimes you look at the country and wonder, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Look up in the morning, apart from the God is keeping you safe. You are not sure whether you cannot get on the street and they will start shooting. And nobody will do anything about it. It's only in Nigeria that light is a prayer point. You want to read that light in the name of Jesus, Father, let them bring light in Jesus' name. How is that even a prayer point? How is that a prayer point? Only in Nigeria. So people are relocating and all of those things. And naturally, it makes sense. But please, don't follow naturally. There's no law that says that once you study nursing, you should travel. There's no law that says once you become a doctor, you should relocate. Don't get yourself in trouble, though. Are you following me, friends? Follow God's plan. Some of you will actually relocate. I'm looking forward to that. That season is coming, actually. There's a time we're going to get to in this church. In some years, you'll find about 10 people traveling at once.
I've seen that season. When it comes, something will say it. You see, but you come to church wonder, Father, that people have traveled. But there's also an agenda of God in that, but not today. So I'm not actually afraid that you're going to relocate. I'm just saying, do it well. Are you blessed today? Let me close. Glory to God. Do you believe me? When you find what God has said about you, this is a long thing in my notes, I'll just give it as a charge. Pattern your life after what God has said. Be driven by prophetic words that have gone ahead of you. The reason is very simple. God has said a lot of good things about you. I've just shown you how to find them. But the truth of the matter is that prophecies are not fulfilled automatically. No, they are not. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. God said to Eli, I told your father, I swear to your father that your family will stand before me for generations. He said, but now the Lord said, be it far from me. So God said, I actually said this to your fathers, but now I'm saying it will never happen. So God can actually say something about you and you will not fulfill it. So pattern your life after prophecy. Live like a man on mission. Be driven by where you are headed. Be driven by where you are headed. Be driven by the things God has shown you, and God will show you your spirit man. What drives me is where I'm going to, what God has shown me. Don't be driven by negative emotions, for instance. Some people are driven by anger. Some are driven by anger. They are angry with someone, so they want to make it in life to shame the person. That's a wrong drive. Some are driven by guilt. They are meant to have started doing this, but they are feeling guilty. That guilt is what is limiting them. Some are driven by low self-esteem. Don't be driven by negative emotion. Negative emotion. Don't be driven. Don't be driven by peer pressure. Don't travel because everybody is traveling. Pastor, don't go and do crusade because everybody is doing crusade. Only you will attend it. Peer pressure. Many of you are dressing the way you are dressing. Not because you like it, but peer pressure. How can you get where God is taking you to? I want to close with just a simple question. What drives you? What drives you? Is it the pictures that God has shown you in your spirit? I'm driven by where I'm going to. I know where I'm going to. I know what God has said about me. That's what drives me. I'm not driven by peer pressure. Everyone can be doing this. I will not do it. I have many things you know that other pastors do that you will never see me do. Because you cannot be driven by peer pressure. Comparing themselves with themselves, the Bible says they are not wise. It is foolishness to compare yourself. Peer pressure. People under pressure. Under pressure. Many young people are smoking today. Not because they love to smoke. Just because their friends are doing it. How can you fulfill purpose like that? How can you fulfill God's plan like that? Peer pressure. A young boy is growing up and his biggest vision is to buy Benz. For real. At 19, at 20, I kid not, I didn't have a perfect life. But the prayer I was praying is, Father, I will not fail my generation. I did think about Benz, and I will make sure my kids don't. At 22, you've never got anybody saved. You don't even know how to pray for 1 hour. You don't even know where you are traveling in life. And your passion is to buy Benz. That if you buy Benz, you drive it. But eventually you buy the car because you're not driving around town. Go to club, go back. Because
you are living a purposeless life. Let passion, let purpose, let the things you've heard from God drive you. Not materialism. Pastor, don't be driven by materialism. Don't be driven by money. What I mean by that is, don't make decisions because of money. Do not want to relocate and your only reason is money. That's the wrong reason. Money should come in, but that's not the reason. That's why a man, society considers a man wise. Our generation, if the man wakes up, leaves his children, wife and children in Nigeria, travels to Canada and stays there for like 15 years, once he's sending money to them, they think he's wise. That's not wisdom. So you are driven by money. Brothers, I'm sending money to them. You think it's money the children need? You're not there for your wife. You're not there for your family, for your children, but you're sending them money. And everything should be fine. What drives you? You that is trying to give birth to children, what is driving you? When you want to give birth to children, you should find out from God, what is God's plan for these children? God will be able to tell you. Now if they born them. Then you begin to make sure you pattern their lives as they grow to fit into what God has shown you. You don't do things because you can. So don't be giving materiality. Be passionate for your purpose. Be serious in your walk with God. Let your purpose choose where you go to. Let your purpose choose your city. Let your purpose choose your friends for you. I said again, let your purpose choose your friends for you. Let what God has shown you choose your friends for you. Let it choose and define your association for you. Not every pastor should be your friend. Not every pastor can, because people have their different plans what they're doing in this ministry. You have a pastor, he's old. Every time you meet him, he's talking about money, blow, this. See your car. See your shoe. See your gold chain. Run. I'm not forging these instructions. They are in the Bible. Paul told Timothy to flee from these people. See your new shoe. See your new car. You guys have bought sound. That's the only thing that they started about. It should not be long you start thinking that way. If you are friends with five foolish people, you are the sixth one. Do you know what I said? If you are friends with five foolish people, there are actually six foolish persons. You've not seen them. They're just the sixth one. Let you are going to choose your purpose. Let me choose your friends. Let me choose who you marry. Let me choose who you fall in love with. I'm begging you. Amen. Let me choose your relocation. You want to relocate from Nigeria? Ask yourself questions like, will I grow spiritually? Will I still do ministry? Is there a plan? How do I consider how ministry coming? Don't say, well, we'll get it, we'll sort it out. Please. Because at the end of your life, you find out that not many things actually matter. Not many things actually matter. You might have the money, have the funds, have everything. But because you've not stepped into that place God is taking you to, there will still be that gap. You still feel that emptiness. And some of you, that's how you're feeling. I'll close. I'm going to say to you, I am not the richest man. Even in this church, I'm not the richest person in this church. And that's not my vision. I get what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be the richest person in this church. I'm not the most successful. Right? I'm not going to have the highest number of children in this church.
Oh God. Or should we?
Babe. Just do like 17. Beat me if you can.
But that's not the fight. I'm content. And that contentment comes from knowing that I am doing what God wants me to do. At every step on the way, I keep asking myself just this question. Father, should we do this now? Learn it. Should we do this now? Is it time for this? At every step, because following God's plan for your life is not what you do once. It's what you do every day. Should we do this now? Is it time for us to go? And every time God says go, I run. I know you want us to spread. Is it time? I said, other people come to me and say, Daddy, it's also place. People are following our ministry. Let's start church there. No. It's not time. Is it time for us to start spreading? Is it time for us to start building? We don't do this anyhow in this church. Some of you should have known now. We want to be sure that it is time. And that's how you live your own life personally. Always ask, is it time for this? Let that thing that God tells you drive you. Let it choose your city for you. Let it choose your friends. Let it choose your church. If God is taking you far, you cannot afford to join just any church. Let it choose your pastor. Make sure your pastor is a serious human being. Because if God is taking you far, you choose a very frivolous pastor. You're going to be a weak Christian. You know, people run away from strong leadership. My pastor told us one day, he said, anything that drives you away from strong leadership is the spirit of reduction. Wants to reduce you. Leadership that you are told you must do it like this, you must pray like this. People don't like that kind of thing. Tell you guys. So why would tell me what to do? We have a mind of my own. Any spirit that runs away from strong leadership is reduction. Now, that's why as we can have children, don't be mean, don't be wicked, but be a strong leader. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, I am not mean. I don't think I am. I'm not wicked. I am not. I sincerely think I'm not. Well, let me tell you. Anything cannot go where I am. That's the truth. I'll be smiling with you, but you will do what I want you to do. Eventually. Now, that is what makes people. Now, if you want to be a serious person in your work with God, be in a strong local church. Let where you are going to define things for you. Sometimes the emotions may be in the wrong place, but make sure your purpose is driving you, not your emotions. There are days you will not be happy, but you should not be driven by emotions. There are days you want, I will never go to this church again. But let it be your purpose driving you, not how you feel. Are you going to be talking about friends? There are times your friend will annoy you. I want to say, I will never talk to this girl again. But you know that this one is going to push you towards your purpose. Put the emotions aside and choose your friends based on where you are going to, not how you feel. Let your choices. So, you want to go far with God. Want to fulfill ministry. Yet your prayer life is nowhere to be found. How will that happen? Let your purpose drive you. Let your purpose keep you awake at night and you are studying the Bible. Because God has shown you that He's taking you to the nations. You don't go to the nations and start speaking English. It's not English that changes nations. It's power. It's power. It's power. And that power is not gotten by saying, you know, I just know who I am in Christ. It's the place of prayer. So if you know where God is taking you to, then pattern your life after prophecy. Pattern your life after prophecy. Pattern your life after prophecy. God wants you to change the world. How many Christian books do you read? And you think somehow you just know things. You wouldn't know nothing. I am a compendium of knowledge. And that's not bragging. That is the truth. You know why? It is not God that gave it to me. The number of books I've read in my head. And you don't have to believe that I've read them. You just have to hear me talk. You know I've read them. Sit with me. I can give you 13 leadership principles that I didn't think about. I don't even know. I can't even remember where I learned them from. But I've read leadership books. I read books. I started with C.W. Kenyon. I read every single production of Ethiopian Union. Any publication. Kenneth E. Hagin. Anyone I could lay hands on. There are Kenneth E. Hagin's book I will call here. Yourself will be wondering, does it exist? I read Joseph Prince. I read Andrew Womack. The leadership, whatever. John Maxwell. When I started church, there was this pastor. This is not good. And I don't know whether God should forgive me. It's for good. I did it for good. So that this pastor, he did a leadership course. And then, I don't know, very long leadership course. And it was paid. I don't know how that thing found its way to my system. I sincerely don't know. But I took the course. So recently I remember that I told myself, I have to send money to this man of God though. He doesn't know me from nowhere. But I know that course was very an expensive course. I sat down, took myself on the course one by one. The question is, where are you going to? And what investment are you making in your life or where you're going to? Purpose does not fulfill itself. If you don't pattern your life after prophecy, it will not happen. What meetings do you go to? As I was living yesterday, talking to my wife about the meeting we're going for in Lagos, and I've said it before, that meeting is going to cost us at least 600,000 to 700,000 to attend. And it's not hard to see. My flight, her flight, go come, add hotel bill. Everywhere down plenty. And yet there is no pain. These are meetings that when you attend, you don't miss any session. Nobody tells you to come on time. Before 7, you are seated. You know what you spent. And I do not think I'm wasting money. I'm investing into my future. Do you know that everything we did this year in church, from Limud to now, you know Limud, was the instruction God gave me last year in that same Lagos. I just sat down there and the Lord said, Pastor was preaching and I was writing something else. This is how the year will run. The structure of PTCI advanced there. Everything. Now, these things cannot be gotten if I was in my room. So your purpose to choose where you go to. I don't club. Not because I'm afraid I will go to hellfire. I'm not afraid of hell. I can't go to hell. How many of you know this? Oh, you know I will go to hell? I can never go to hell. If you get to hell any day and you see me there, you've gone to heaven. So forget that one. I'm in Christ Jesus. So I don't club not because I'm afraid of hell. I don't club because there is nothing to gain from where I'm going to in the club. What will be added? Nothing. I don't go everywhere because I know where I'm headed, sir. Where are you going to? But I've just shown you how to find God. When you find God and what He wants you to do, pattern your life after that place you're going to. In this meeting tonight, He will show you things. He will tell you where you must be. He will show you where you must go. He will show you steps you must take. He will show you the next place He's taking you to. But when you hear that as you leave tomorrow, pattern your life after what He has shown you. Don't just hear those things and get excited. Come tonight with a pen and a paper. Because God will talk to you. You will hear things. You will hear voices. You will see signs. You will see visions. He will show you the next place for your business. The next place for your career. The next place for your ministry. When you are done, pattern your life after that place you are going to. The kind of prophecy does not fulfill itself. Pattern your life after where you are going to. You are not called to waste. You are not called to waste. You will hear God tonight. And some of you, you will not even hear nothing new. You will hear, He will remind you of the things He has told you about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Something He has been telling you. Please write them down afresh and begin to build your life after it. I know where this church is going to. The reason I'm doing all the discipleship is because I know where we're going to. Why do you think I'm not playing? If you want to fill up 10,000-seater hall, I tell you we have the money and we can raise the money to bring the biggest singers in the world and they will come. Maybe it will be packed out. But I know that it's somewhere we're going to. If we get all these people and they go home, next 10 years we will not be close to where God is sending us to. I know where we're going to. That's why we don't do anything. We don't just do anything. Why do you think you're sitting down here, sleep is trying to carry you? I'm still talking. I know where we're going to. Because I've seen it in the spirit that some of you, we don't even know. You will lead nations. Some of you will lead churches. Some of you will be in the field. We are going to... We're going to have a team. God has shown me there's going to be a team in the future. They are not pastors. A team of church planters. We want to plant the church. We sponsor them. Send them to whatever city. They stay there for 3 months. Plant church. We'll pay them. Plant church and come back. And the pastor can take over. It's in the future. And if that thing is in our future, Oga, I cannot play. I cannot play now. So I don't send somebody to the field and the person become casualty there. It's a demon came out and slapped him. I get what I'm talking about here. There's a lot God is doing. And so if you know where you're going to, pattern your life after prophecy. We are not wasting time. Eventually. So when you see me live the way I live, I know where I'm going to. When we finish this program, everybody's going to drive out, people that have cars. People will set on different routes because of where they're going to. So when you see me driving towards MNL or towards Garrick, is where I'm going to. Don't join me if you're not headed to Garrick. Some of you are with friends who are going to an entire different place. I'm just going with them. How can two human beings want to marry? One is thinking of taking missions around the world. The other one is thinking of something else. How will it's an immiscible liquid. One of my mentors told me he wanted to marry, and the husband, the wife, the guy, the lady wanted to marry. Said, well, to start with, God called you. God didn't call me. And he said, okay, he was so in love. He said, yes. He said, my vision is to be an ambassador. He said, yes. And they were planning marriage. And then he went to his mentor. The mentor said, I need a list of about 5 to 7 girls that you can consider to marry. And he made the list. And the mentor said, you're a pastor, right? Send all of them on missions. Give them assignments to go and do. Ministry assignments. I said, Daddy, this one will not do it too. He said, there you have your answer right there. He's married today. Filling ministry with his wife. Now, nothing is wrong with the other lady. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not our fault. It's not that we are not meant to go the same place. I want to say this by the Holy Ghost to somebody. When it has to do with relationship and your destiny, please stop being emotional. If something shouldn't be, it shouldn't be. Let heaven fall, let hell roll, everybody will be fine. Because what you are going into is more important than people's emotions. Pattern your life for where you are headed. This is a marathon, though. You might choose your own short path now, and you are living well, and I'm not. But just give me time. I've aligned my life with God's plan, and we will get there. We will get there. We will get there. Lift your hands. I'd like you to pray a prayer. Because, listen, before you pray, look at me. My wife was on the yesterday. Do not be afraid of missing God. You won't miss God. That's the point. God will make sure you don't miss his leading. The question is not whether you will follow. Now, once you are praying, God will show you. But will you follow? Make up your mind to follow. Lift your hands. Say, Father, I align myself to your will. Pray it as a prayer. On top of your voice. I align myself. I align myself. Pray it like you mean it. If you understand what I said today, then pray it seriously. I align myself. Not my will.
life is to be lived for Jesus, finding his way and walking in it. In your business, God has his plan. He will show you. Don't worry. Tonight, he will begin to show you. There will be encounters tonight. You will see. He will show you. But make up your mind to align yourself to that thing that he will show you. I don't want to run on autopilot. I don't want to run by my own wisdom. Please pray. I want to take 3 minutes. Pray. This is a very important session. That's why many of you came to this meeting. Some of you, this message brought correction to you. You know you've been working out of God's will. Begin to realize. Say, Father, I realign. Some of you, you know. You know you've been in stores God did not send you to. Begin to realign. Pray. God doesn't condemn, he corrects. He's not to condemn, he's for you to realign. To realign yourself. One more thing. Hold your neighbor's hand. Pray for that person. Say, Father, this one will not miss you. This one will be. Pray. Align this one, Lord. Help this one. Pray for that person you are holding. This one will be aligned. This one will not miss you. This one will be like, pray for that person. Pray. Love that person in prayer. This one will find God and follow him. This one will not miss God's plan, God's timing for his life and for his generation. This one will not. Pray for that person. He will not miss it. He will not miss it. Where God is taking this one to, he will get there. Distractions are cut off. Distractions are removed. They are cut off. Your life is aligning. Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Don't be afraid of missing God. Just align yourself. At every point of the way, he will tell you. See that promise? Isaiah 30, I think verse 19. Said, thy ear shall hear a word behind you.
saying, this is the way.
Give me on the screen, Isaiah 10, verse 19.
Yeah,
verse 21, rather, 19. This is actually what I wanted to title the book that was going to come out.
This is the way.
That may still be the title, I don't know.
Thy ear shall hear what behind you saying, this is the way.
That book, God asked me to write that book because I've been teaching on following gospel, but I want to be able to give you something you can hold. At different points of life, you can refer back to the document and ask and reread it to tell yourself, am I still walking in that path? Amen. I pray by next year, trusting God by January, it should be out. Amen. Pray by immersion. But don't be afraid of meeting God. Just decide that every time you will follow, you will walk with Him. Amen. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Tonight will be a special session and tomorrow morning. So after this, you can maybe snap picture. Have you taken any picture? Take pictures, post it, tell your friends to come around. Okay, and tonight is gonna be powerful. Tomorrow morning, we're gonna close on a very high note. Hallelujah. We're gonna have you having a good time? Is this meeting really worth it? Those people that traveled down, was it worth it? People that gave, was it worth it? Are we going to do this again and again and again? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll see you in the evening.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.